she is. And the rapture will go. You know what that means? We haven't quite come to that spot where we really understand our position yet in the kingdom of heaven. Right? Because we're still here. But I'll tell you what, our Christian experience, the revealing of the word, it just gets sweeter and sweeter every day. So, God's always got something better for us. You know, if Satan, if he let Satan come and take something away from you like he did Job, you know what that means? God's got something better for you. Right? Because God, nothing with God goes backwards. Right? Nothing with him goes backwards. He doesn't lose ground. We might feel like we lose ground, but God never loses ground. And what God has, the workmanship that we are in Christ, right? Everything he's done in our life that's in Christ Jesus, there's no lost ground in that. Right? Because it's his workmanship, right? If we say, you know what? I was doing fine yesterday. I was on the mountaintop, but today I made a mistake. We count that as being failure. But you know what? In God's plan for us, there wasn't any part of us that moved backwards, right? Because he doesn't go back. His workmanship is just exactly what he has planned for it to be. And so, yeah, we have failures and we make mistakes and those sort of things. But God uses those. Because you know what happens? If you got the Holy Spirit in your life and you do something wrong, you know about it, right? You know about it and you make it right. Because that's just the life that's in you. There's a life in you that loves God, loves his word, loves his people, and loves to be in right standing with God, and doesn't like it when you're falling short of his glory. And so that's not the life of the devil in there, right? And that's the life of God in there doing that. So we thank the Lord for doing that. You know, we live in a dark hour, but that means we can be lights to shine for his glory. And so we're going to turn the service over here just a moment to Brother Daniel. You may. And like I said a little bit earlier, he's been feeling a bit on the bad side today, nauseated. And so he's going to give the devil a black eye, I'm sure. But, you know, we've all of us been through battle in the last couple of weeks, attacking and that sort of thing. But he's a sore loser. But Brother Daniel is a soldier. He's here. Fighting the battles. I told him, I hope it doesn't embarrass him. But I said, Brother, I've been watching you. I think you've got a thing for our multimedia technician, Sister Vicky. So, anyway, he said, yeah, I do, Brother. So, anyway, I asked our sugar hand, I said, did you hear we have a special speaker tonight? She said, yeah, I heard that. So, but I love to see, I told my wife at Walmart, I love to see families. There's a colored family come through, the kids, and they all looked happy. And I like to see that. Because you know what? There's an all-out attack today against the family unit. Against men being men and women being women and families being families. They want to turn us into something like I don't know what. But God don't have that in his kingdom, in his economy. That prophet knew what he was talking about when he said that people out there was going insane. Right? He knew what he was talking about when the only real thing that was going to be real love to be left to be among God's people. He knew what he was talking about when he told us those things. And we're seeing those things come to fruit now. So this is our hour to shine for the glory of God. Amen? So we're going to turn the order of the service. Let's see. We're singing, He's All I Need.
He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. He's all.
Personal.
You're all.
is all we need. Amen.
Amen.
I've had times in my life where it seemed like everything that could go wrong has gone wrong, but I can say, but you know what? I know one thing. I've got God. And it's that made everything okay. Because you know what? No matter, because all but this storm will pass. This too shall pass. And I'll go into another mountaintop, another valley. But as long as I've got God on my side, that's all I need.
That's right.
I'm going to thank Brother Timothy and Sister Ashley and your family. I'm sorry you had to hear me tonight. I don't know whether you heard Brother Tony, but praise the Lord. It's good to see you tonight. Amen. Amen. Let everyone be seated if you'd like to. I gave Vicki the scriptures for the multimedia. I don't know if you got them. I guess you did. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. And I'm going to speak to you this morning or this evening on fighting the right way.
Amen.
Fighting the right way. How many knows you can fight a wrong way?
Amen.
You usually don't feel too good when you do. But when you fight the right way, that's when things change. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. We'll read verses 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for this opportunity to be here tonight. I ask you, Father, to let me just be a yielded vessel, Father, that you can just flow through. I want to step to the side and just let you have your way tonight. You know what they have need of, or I don't know. I give committed all to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Seated. We'll read one more scripture from Hebrews chapter 11, and that's Hebrews 11, verse 6. It says, But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. Who knows that God's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him?
Amen.
And one more scripture, and I know these are a lot of scriptures. I think it's good to read scriptures, though.
Amen.
Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And just a quote, it says, I want you to notice something else. God did not use books and theological terms to cleanse his servant. He used fire. He never used creeds to clean his servant. He took fire off the altar. And if God ever cleans a man today, it's got to be the Holy Ghost fire that cleanses a man. Not reading a book and doing this or some other book or so-and-so. A certain minister here in California said the other day, he had the book of the year. I differ with him.
Amen.
The book of the year is the Bible. Always has been.
Amen.
The book of the year is God's book, always.
Amen.
God's word will not fail. You say amen?
Amen.
People can they copycat off of what God does because he's perfect in everything. It says the things that are God are made by the things that's made. That means you can look at the flowers and you can see God.
Right.
You can see a bird and you can see God. You can see all these things, and man has built off of that. He copies off that. They've even got machines that are called a caterpillar. And if you look at their equipment that they have, they copycat it off of an animal that God created or a creature that God created, and it works. You know, look at all these different things. If you look at them, they copycat off of something that's already perfect. And that's God's Word. Something God has done is perfect. And that's the perfect way. And ministers, a lot of times, over the radio and different things, they'll have all these new books that come out and say, this is the book you've got to read. This is the book of the year. When you read this, it's going to tell you how to pray right. The reason you have not got the answers to your request is you have not prayed it the right way. These are the words you have to say. And people will concentrate on this, and they'll try to rehearse those words exactly. But you know, the Word says the Spirit makes intercession for us.
Right,
it prays for things we don't even know what we have need to pray for. Whenever we get on our knees and we start praying, all of a sudden I'll start speaking words I didn't even know I was going to speak sometimes. You say amen?
Amen.
Sometimes you find a stammering lip and your lips start stammering and your lips are moving and you don't even know what's going on. A lot of people don't even know what that is today.
Right.
Amen? Amen. When you spend such enough time in prayer on your knees and you're seeking God, there's a different kind of move. There's something on the inside that manifests on the outside. See, that's the thing we got to get. We got to get this on the inside, on the outside. We got a seed on the inside. I believe I'm a seed of God. How many believe you're a seed of God tonight?
Amen.
I'm a seed of God. And see, we got to have that manifest on the outside.
Right.
In Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 32, I'm going to read a few scriptures tonight. It says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that which commits such things are worthy of death, but not only do the same, but have pleasure in them, but do them. Many of the people that you see out there, they're doing the things that they do, they know it's wrong.
Right.
But not only do they know it's wrong, they do it, and they have pleasure while they do it. And the scripture says, what was it that caused them to do that? It says they did not retain God in their knowledge.
That's right.
When they did not retain God in their knowledge, God turned them over to a reprobate mind. To retain God's knowledge in your knowledge, that means that's something that we have to do. That's something that we, I used it the other night, I was talking to the boys. If I was going to tell my son, Dylan, he's on his way to driver's ed here in a couple of months, I thought I seen one hair already pop out on the side of my head the other day. But he's going to be going to driver's ed here in the next few weeks. And if I had Dylan get his driver's license and I said, Dylan, I want you to stop. I want you to give me some eggs and some milk and some sugar and some flour. Well, Dylan can be going down the road, and if he's anything like I am, he's going to forget. He'll pull into the driveway and it'll be so far gone out of his mind. But you see, for him to retain that in his knowledge, Dylan has got to make an effort forth. Dylan is going to step forth and say, milk and eggs, milk and eggs, milk and eggs. And he's got to go back to doing his work, doing the things, listening to the radio, whatever he's doing. Milk and eggs, milk and eggs, milk and eggs. That's something that he's got to do within himself to retain it in his knowledge. And say, we in this world, we have to live in this life. We have to go to work. We have to do the laundry. We have to do the dishes and all these things. But we have to retain God in our knowledge.
Amen.
Because this is going to show us how to fight the right kind of faith. Because when we keep God in our knowledge, we're doing the laundry and we're mowing the yard and I know who my Redeemer is. When you're doing the dishes and you're doing these things, seek your calling and election sure, so you don't stumble. When you're doing these things, it's an effort that we have to do. We must seek to retain God in our knowledge.
Right.
It's an effort that we have to put forward. It talks about being filled with unrighteousness. You know, what is it that makes a righteous man? It's not a man that don't have faults. A righteous man is not a man that doesn't make mistakes. But what the prophet said, what makes a righteous man is a man that will confess his faults.
Right.
And that's one thing the devil will fight so hard today is to get us where we will not do the one simple thing. Simply confess and say, God, I did it. Forgive me. I was wrong.
Right.
You ever notice in the natural, at the natural thing within a man in your flesh and bones to want to defend yourself automatically when someone starts talking to you about something? Why did you not get the eggs and the bread? I had this on the radio. I had this. I had that. He's got an excuse. And he's never done this. He's not even driving yet. So I'm just using him for an example, okay? But see, I can say, where's the eggs? Where's the butter? Where are all these things? And he can have all these excuses of why I did not do it. Daddy, it was my favorite song. I didn't want to miss my beat on the steering wheel. Just keep both hands on the steering wheel and the seatbelt on. That's my big thing. The speed limit. And I can go on. But you know what? It's a natural thing within us to want to defend ourselves of why I could not do what I was supposed to do.
Right.
This is why I didn't do it. Rather than saying, forgive me, I did it. I failed. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Because when you do that, it's like a reboot. You repent, it's over. You just start fresh all over again. But see, that's what the devil wants to try so hard on, is to get us where we just don't want to confess those things. Amen. Mm-hmm. Go to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. She's going to have these on the multimedia. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Amen. And the Romans 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. It's saying victory comes by what? What does victory come by? Faith. Amen. Faith.
Amen. Right.
Now, if victory comes by faith, where do I get faith from? If I can say, son, the movement from that car, we've got the spark, but you've got to have gasoline. If you don't have gasoline, the car ain't going nowhere. And vice versa. If you don't have gasoline, you've got to have a spark. Amen. So if you've got to have gasoline, where do I get gasoline at? You got to know where to go. Amen? Well, we're talking about faith. Well, I got to have faith to have the victory. Where do I get my faith at now?
Yes.
Amen? Go ahead and go back to Scripture. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. I'm sorry. That's not Scripture I gave you. I got that. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 14 through 15. For we wrestle, for we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you. For we are come as far as to you, also preaching the gospel of Christ. Not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. Just thought the scripture. I told you the wrong one. I'm going to read the scripture from you, okay? Chapter 10, verse 14. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We're not fighting a natural warfare. This is a spiritual warfare that we're fighting. And we're talking about we've got to have faith to overcome. And we talked in the beginning in the scriptures talking about how the tongues, he would take coal off the altar and put them on his mouth, and it brings such an anointing upon him. He said, Lord, send me to do it. I'll do it.
Amen.
See, that's what it is, friend. That's when the minister preaches the gospel, he preaches faith. And when he preaches faith, you hear that and it comes deep within your heart, and it's like a coal off of the altar that comes inside your bosom and it makes you feel alive again. You say amen?
Right.
That's what preaching of the word, that's what makes believers so excited about coming to church, because we know it's another coal off of the altar.
Amen.
He's going to have an anointing off of that altar, and when he touches that minister's got to be under there. He's got to get that anointing first. He gets that coal off of the altar, and it makes him feel alive again.
Yes.
And then that man, that minister, will come up to the altar through the worship and the praise, getting ready for the word. He'll take that same coal that God gave him and give it to you. And it makes you feel alive by the same God that made him feel alive.
That's right.
You say amen.
Amen.
That's why we love coming to church. Because he's alive. God is alive.
Amen. Amen.
They've got movies out there, God's Not Dead. I hear the titles all the time. I believe it. God's not dead. He's alive.
Right. Amen.
Amen. There's a quote in Preaching 56, and I think it's worth reading. A lot of people don't like it from 60 before 65. I like all of them. Amen.
Amen.
Now, there's such a thing in the heart. The soul lives in the heart, and you believe from your heart. People don't get religion in their head by book knowledge. You get religion in the heart by an experience in the heart. And the heart will always agree with the Bible. But the head will reason. And the Bible said we got to cast down reasoning.
That's right.
You can't go with your mind. The devil works in that. You got to go with your heart.
Amen.
So your mind would tell her, now it's reasonable. If these women can do that, why can't I? They're all Christians. They have a good standing in the church. They have good standing in the community. So why can't I? I'm a Christian like they are. And if they can do that, then it's reasonable that I should be able to do that too. Because I'll be one of them. They'll think I'm an old fogey. And I don't want this. I'm better than they are. See, that's reasoning. It'll get you in bad every time. No matter what your intellectual knowledge tells you, don't you believe it. If it's contrary to the word of God, take thus saith the Lord
Amen.
First. Amen. It's so easy in our flesh, man, to compare ourselves with our fellow man beside us and say, you know what, if brother so-and-so does it, or sister so-and-so does it, then why can't I do it?
Come on.
Even Brother Brendan said, don't follow me, you follow the Bible. He said, because if I ever get away from the Bible, you stay with the Bible. You say amen?
Amen.
He said, you stay with the Word. And a minister will tell you the same thing, say, don't follow me, follow the Word. Follow me as I follow the Word, but if I ever leave this, you stay with it. You say amen? So we don't want to compare ourselves with the world. We don't want to compare ourselves with those things. We need to compare ourselves to the Word. Where we are seeking for a coal off the altar. Where we are calling for a coal off the altar.
Amen.
When the children of Israel were in bondage and they were fighting and the taskmaster was beating their backs, it was the cry of their hearts that brought them the deliverer.
That's right.
If they weren't crying and seeking God, God wouldn't send the deliverer. God waited for the appropriate time for them to call out and say, God, I want it. God, I want it. And at the appropriate time, God sent the deliverer. A lot of times, the reason people don't have the deliverer is they're not seeking him anymore. You say, what are you talking about, Brother Daniel? I'm free already, ain't I? How many times do people walk in bondage because they don't cry out to God and say, God, get me out of this? And God will send a deliverer. Who's the deliverer? God will get a hold of a minister and anoint him with a coal off the altar.
Right.
And he'll bring that coal off of the altar and touch your ear with it, and it'll melt that thing away.
Amen.
The thing that you've been battling.
Amen.
But where does it come from? You seeking God. Where you are retaining God in your knowledge. And you're saying, God, I want the victory. God, I want this giant dead. I want this thing under my foot. Where does it come from? Us retaining God in our knowledge. Us seeking God. Even the Apostle Paul said, you pray for me that I can have a clear utterance from heaven and that I can understand how to be able to preach this in a way that people can understand it. We should pray for our ministry. Can you say it again?
Amen.
We should pray for our ministry. Pray for our musicians because God has a provided way. Healing is life. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I could pull a pocket knife out and I could cut a big hole in this desk here and I can watch that and I can put water on it and it'll sit there and it'll be just as cut up as it was.
Right.
Why? There's no life in it.
Right.
But you know what? I could the same thing, God forbid, I would have a cut on my arm. can take all the infection out, it'll heal automatically. Right. Why? There's life in it.
That's right. Amen.
Because when you have life, you have healing. When you have life, you have growth. I want growth, amen. Amen. I want healing, amen. But see, the way we got to do that, a lot of times you got to get the infection out. You can have a cut in your arm. I remember when I hurt my back. Oh, my goodness. I've heard people say backaches. You don't know backaches till you got backaches. You say amen? I didn't know it was possible to hurt so bad. It's a completely different look that I don't ever want to go back to. In the midst of that time of my hurting my back, they were giving me these injection shots in my back, and it was a big old needle about that long. I remember he was giving me the shot, and I was thinking, oh my goodness, that hurts. It's fixing the end at any time. Because pain will usually go to a certain meter, and you reach that and you kind of plateau. It don't hurt no more. I was thinking to myself, I got to be getting to the top of that meter anytime. He said, okay, it's fixing to really hurt in the next 10 seconds. I'm like, oh, Lord. It already hurts me. He was giving me that shot, and I'm telling you what, I never felt pain so bad. But in the midst of this time, and with my back being hurt, I got an ingrown toenail in my toe, and it got infected. Because my back was hurt, I couldn't reach down to doctor my toe, and I wasn't going to let my wife touch it. I love her, but you ain't touching my toe. I'm going to tell you what, I kept telling myself it'll heal, it'll get better. It got worse. And I remember I'd be walking because my back would hurt so bad at the time, and I'm just aching, and I'd stub that toe. And I'm like, oh. I jerk, my back hurts. I kick, my toe hurts. I'm like, oh, Lord. And it just got worse and worse. And I'm telling you, that toe got so big, it looked like it was about to explode. And I finally said, I got to go to the doctor. And he said, he seen that. And he said, what were you thinking? I said, it's infected. He said, you think? He said, that's not going to heal like that until I get that infection out. He said, I'm going to have to get the infection out, and it's going to really hurt. I'm like, hurt? He said, no. I said, can you put me to sleep? He said, no, I can't put you to sleep for a toe. I'm just going to grow. And I said, you don't understand, doctor. I'm hurting. My back's killing me. I can't take no more pain. He said, son, you'll be out. He said, I just had a little old lady. I said, that little old lady did not have a herniated disc in her back. I said, I want pain medicine. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll numb it for you. He stuck that needle in the sides of my toes, and I just thought I hurt. It just got worse and worse and worse. If I would have went in the very beginning,
come on,
I would not have had to endure all that. But see, I kept putting it off and putting it off and putting it off, and that toe festered so much that eventually I had to let the rubber meet the road and say, okay, do it. I don't want to wait till it festers, amen?
Amen.
When we get something in there and you know it's wrong, confess it to God. Say, God, forgive me. I want to get that thing out of me and get the infection. Get the infection out of me and let that healing take place. Because I'm telling you what, when you have life, you have healing. When you have life, you have growth. You say, amen?
Amen.
When you do it the right way, the provided way, you will have life, you will have growth. I want life, and I want growth.
Amen. Amen.
If you're looking at a financial standpoint, and I remember when my wife and I were first married, we did not know how to budget money no more than anything. We do our best, and you know, we would always be just struggling. We'd almost have enough to pay the bills, and we would always miss the mark. But see, there's a provided way with finances. Can you say amen?
Amen.
When you do it the provided way, God will bless your finances. Because in the same way that there's life, you've got to get the infection out. When you get the infection out, healing can take place. And a lot of times, infection in your finances is because you're spending money on things you shouldn't be spending it on. And that's infection. Can you say amen? It's an infection that can get on you to cause you to where you're spending money when you shouldn't be spending money. And it's something that spreads. It'll start at first through spending money on this one thing. I want to spend money on this one thing, and then it becomes a habit. And the next thing you know, let's just throw something out there. Let's say it's sausage biscuits. Because I like sausage biscuits. How many like sausage biscuits? That's what I'm talking about. We're right at home. When you're going to work and you can say, you know what, I've got food at home, but I'm going to stop and I'm going to get that sausage biscuit. And you'll tell yourself, I'm going to get the sausage biscuit. It's $1.98 going through the drive-thru. When I do that, I know that for a reason. $1.98. You're pulling through there and you're ready to get your, and you say, you know what, for an extra $2, I can get a hash brown. I can get a drink. And the next thing you know, you say, and you tell yourself, I'm going to do this one time. One time, I'm going to get the value meal. I deserve it. I've earned it. I want my hash brown. And you get your hash brown and you buy your orange juice and you go around. And guess what happens the next day? You go for your sausage biscuit, and the next thing you know, it's like, you know what? That was pretty good yesterday. I was pretty productive. Let's go for two for two. And the next thing you know, you're doing it every single day. And the next thing you know, every time you go, you're no longer getting the simple meal, you're getting the big meal. And when you go to buy the simple thing, you get the big thing. Who knows what I'm talking about? We find ourselves by habit, we say, you know what, I usually always get water with my drink because it's an extra $1.78 or whatever it is to buy a drink. I usually get water. Today I'm going to treat myself sweet tea. And the next thing you know, four times down the trips to the place, you've got sweet tea. And you don't even want water anymore. You say amen. It can become an infection that bleeds over to where every time you can no longer buy simple, you've got to buy the little more, a little more, a little more, a little more, and it eats away at your budget. And your finances can't grow because you've got too much infection. But when you get that infection out and you get it under control and you say, God, help me get this under control. I want to put my finances in control. I want to be a good steward over what you gave me, God. God, help me do that. And I'm telling you what, God will continue. God will go back. And God will bless your finances again. Is this the truth? Amen. Amen. And them sausage biscuits are good. It's not wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong to eat breakfast. Understand. I'm just using it as an example. How that if we don't watch it, even in our finances, we can find ourselves spending money on things we shouldn't be spending on. And then when we need that money for something else, we don't have it. A lot of times you'll come onto some money that unexpectedly, and you think, oh, right, we're going out to eat. My wife and I remember we used to dig in the cushions and the couch, because the church used to go out to eat after, every Sunday afternoon. We never could go, we didn't have the money. Remember those days? I remember we wanted to go fellowship so bad. Everybody would go out to eat and we'd say, you know what? Let's go dig the couches. We'd flip things over. We'd flip the cushions over. And here's a quarter here. Here's a nickel here. And we'd scrape all that change up. If we get one breadstick, we might be okay. Other than that, we ain't going. Is that the truth? It's a sacrifice. So I'm telling you what, it was real easy. It would have been real easy in the temptation to say, you know what? I'll pull my tithes out and the offerings out. And we're going to go out to eat this day. Reasoning. What did Brother Graham say about reasoning?
Right.
Through reasoning, you'll reason yourself and you'll say, you know what, today I want to be able to take my family out to a meal. I'm gonna pull a little from the offerings and the tithes, and we're gonna go out to eat, and we do that. And you've started infection.
Right.
And you're gonna have to pay for it. When you get infection, you have to pay for it. Kind of like that splinter. Brother Cliff Farmer was here the other day. Preaching about how to get a splinter. You get a splinter in your hand, and you grab the door handle, you get mad at the door handle. You grab this, you're mad at this. And a lot of times, I thought it was a very wonderful explanation. A lot of times, you think it's your wife, you think it's this, but it's the splinter.
Right.
In this case, it's the infection.
Amen.
That toe, I keep walking through, it was so festered up, I remember going through and kicking one of the shoes from one of the kids sitting in the
the place it's supposed to be at the door. And I remember I'd kick that thing. I'd say, "Who's got your shoes by the door? Daddy, didn't you tell us to put them at the door?" "Yeah, I did." See, I was thinking they were my problem. They were doing what they were supposed to do. It wasn't them, it was the infection. The infection's a problem, amen? We want to get the infection out. We've got some amoxicillin this morning, or this evening.
We've got some penicillin this evening that can take that stuff out.
Amen.
You see, I want God, because I believe that we have the gospel that has all the answers.
Amen.
See, we're talking about how, a quote is saying that this man said, this is the book of the year. I believe that with the Bible, it can answer every problem that we have.
Amen.
We can actually take this word, and if it's our finances, we can take this word and point it toward our finances and cut out the infection. We can take this word, if it's healing, we can use the word and confront the healing.
Amen.
If it's deliverance, no matter what it is, this right here. When Jesus faced the devil through the temptations, he didn't say, "Let me go get the new Dr. Henry book or whoever they are. Let me really see what he said about it." He said, "It's not me." He said, "Man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Amen. Say amen. He used the word on him. When he fought the devil, he used the word on him. And he beat the devil every time. When the prophet of God went around the world and faced the devil, he didn't pull out even his own book. He pulled out the Bible. Say amen?
Amen.
He used the Bible.
That's right.
You say, "Well, is there a difference?" Brother Brenham, he tied us back to the Word.
Amen.
He didn't come with a different message.
Amen.
His message came back to the Word. He pointed always back to the Word. Always back to the Word. But see, there's a lot of message churches out there today. They have their own message. They're preaching another Jesus.
Right.
When you preach another Jesus, you're going to get a different result.
Right.
You say amen?
Amen.
You preach a different thing, you're going to get a different result. But if we do it the right way, use it in the right way, we'll get the right results.
Amen.
You know, if we're just doing it like a little league baseball game, I don't know anything about little league baseball. I don't know how many players are supposed to be on the field. I don't understand the game. And to be perfectly honest with you, I have no desire to. You could probably get by with me being a coach of the league. You could probably get by because at the worst, you're going to lose and you probably won't ever win a game. At the worst. But when we're talking about souls, friends,
amen,
that's not something that we want to be guessing on.
Amen.
When we're talking about our life, our walk with the Lord, amen, that's not something we want to be guessing on.
Amen.
We want to know, am I walking in the Word? Do I have life? Do I have life working in me? Do I have healing working in me? Do I have life growing in me? Me individually. You say amen for yourself.
Amen.
I want to be able to look at this word. Because, you know, I've heard Daddy talk about it. I've heard Mama talk about it. I've heard Brother Tony talk about it. I've heard the preacher. I've heard the deacon. I've heard them talk about it. But what about me? Do I have the life in me? When I face the devil faces me in the valley. Do I know how to use this to make it fight my battle? Because we have to fight it the right way.
Amen.
You could have all the right equipment, have the word, have the message book right in your hand, and be defeated. I remember my wife can vouch for you. I remember when Elijah, he was so sick there for a while, every year, it seemed like every month, at least two times he was in the hospital with pneumonia. So sick constantly. My wife can vouch for you. She would hold the Bible open in Revelation, and I would quote her with Revelation. Is that the truth? I had read it so much, I could quote the word, quote the scriptures, and say there's a comma there. Quote the scriptures all the way through. Had it here, but I did not have faith to overcome and see my boy be healed. I had the book knowledge, didn't have the faith. See, there's a lot of people today, they've got the book knowledge.
They could quote it. They could do these things. But where's the faith? Amen? Because we need faith. We're talking about faith for a body to change our bodies. Amen. We're talking about needing a body change. And Brother Brenham said in the seals, he said, people ain't got faith for a toothache anymore. Right. He says, you know, if there's people that go in the rapture tonight, if there are five gone, people would never know it. He said, I don't do those things to scare these things, to scare you. I'm telling you to get on your toes. That's what he said. We need to seek. We need to retain God in our knowledge. We need to seek God and say, God, I want the faith. Because when you have faith, you got the works.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
Evidence that you've got gas in your car is your car's driving. You can say, I've got this puppy full of gas. She's all buffed up. She's shined up. She's got all these things. And you can fill a pump full of gas. But if you ain't got spark, you ain't going nowhere. We've got a Hellcat Challenger on the lot. $79,000 car. Can you imagine? That's more than my house. $79,000 for a car. Prettiest car you've ever seen as far as a car. That thing could be full of gas. $79,000 car. Could be full of gas. Could be buffed up. Could be washed up. The rims could be shining. You can put the tire shine on it. It can look immaculate. Even have gas. But if you ain't got spark, that $79,000 car, there's a Dodge Neon down the road that's got more value to me. You know why? Because you can get in the Dodge Neon and drive it to get you some eggs and milk and sugar.
Right.
Amen? I had a Dodge Neon. That's a Nissan. I'd rather have that could actually drive than to have that pretty thing that couldn't do nothing.
Amen.
You can sit inside there and hold the steering wheel and make moving noises. Can't go nowhere with it. You got to have the spark. And friends, I want the spark.
Amen.
I want the spark.
Amen.
Because we've got the tools. We've got the life. You believe that?
Amen.
I believe we do. I believe we've got the ministry. I believe we've got everything that we have need of. I believe we do. But see, we need to seek God, retain God in our knowledge. Because that devil, what Brother Graham said the battleground was in your mind. That devil's going to fight your mind all the way to service. He'll cause you to argue. He'll cause you to fuss. He'll cause you to do all these different things to get your mind so distracted for service. Amen? Maybe that's just the black house. Maybe that's just my house. That devil will work on you. He'll cause all these things to happen to get your mind so distracted, so festered up, and not just at church, during your daily walk. He'll fight you and get you so festered. But see, we have to seek to retain God in our knowledge. Retaining it. Say, God, I want the word. God, help me to seek your word. God, help me to seek your perfect will, God. See, and I believe that's what Enoch did. And it says Enoch had a testimony that pleased God. I believe as a believer, the people around us, we should never have to say I'm a Christian. Our life should say that.
Right.
Brother Tony hit something the other day, and I gave him a good amen for it. I thought it was... You got amens, and you got the good amen. You know, and that was the good amen. Brother Tony was talking about how you've got these. It was on Facebook. Somebody put something on there and said, "People that you never would think that are Christians, that are Christians." And you've got people from these rock and roll bands and all these different things. You've got the movie stars and all these different things. They're Christians, but they keep it so hidden, so they don't expose those things. Brother Tony said, "Tommy Rod." You say amen. If you're a Christian and you're alive and you've got a life inside you, you're going to know.
Amen.
You're going to know. People are going to know about it. Amen.
Amen.
You let a woman that's pregnant try to act like she's not pregnant. She can do it for a little while. She can wear the bigger blouses and she can walk so, I don't know what the word y'all use, but circumspectly maybe would be a good word. She's walking and she can wear the big blouse. But I'm telling you what, if she's got life in there, she can try to hold out all she wants to. When she smells them corn dogs, she's ready to eat. She smells that, she can walk through. There's a deep call to the deep. There's something on the inside that says, take me to the corn dog. In the middle of the night, she'll get those midnight cravings. She'll be laying in bed, and she'll crave pickles and broccoli. The craziest stuff you've ever heard of. She can try to hide it all she wants to, but there's a hunger on the inside. And that hunger will expose you. You say amen? Amen. In the good or the bad. When you've got life inside you, it's going to want to eat.
Right. And that's what, you know, I've heard someone say years ago, they said fellowship is F-O-O-D. When we fellowship, we like to eat. But you know what? Whether you've got the wrong kind of life on the inside of you, it'll expose you eventually. Because that thing will keep pulling out to it and keep pulling out to it and keep pulling out to it until finally, and that devil, what it is, see, you got that borderline right there. If that's your doorpost for the token. That devil, he'll hold that out there, and if you want some broccoli and some pickles, that devil will shake that broccoli and pickles out there until you finally step out, and he'll grab a hold of you and he'll hold on. He'll say, 911, they robbed the bank, they robbed the bank. You say amen. You've got a hunger for the wrong thing, that devil will keep waving that in front of you and keep waving it in front of you until finally you latch on, and yes, then he'll holler at everybody, make sure everybody sees it.
Right.
That's where the devil works. But you know what? That life of God on the inside, that life of God will show you the word, he'll show you all these things, and you keep reaching out, and eventually that Lord will get a hold of you and just pull you right on in. You say amen? I've had times I'll be going through my daily at work, and I've been fighting these things, and the Lord's calling me to pray, and I need to pray, and I'm trying to work, and it's not because I don't want to pray, it's because I got to work. I got these things going, and the Lord will keep calling me, and this happened just here recently. You got to go back in the filing cabinet to where the files are to pull the folders out for the new vehicles, and the Lord kept calling me to pray and calling me to pray, and I'm like, I'm not trying to pray real quick, and my customers were working and with me, and I was working with them. And I kept feeling that pull to pray. And I was like, well, God, ask you to help me. I don't know what it is. And this is before my mission trip, matter of fact. This is exactly what it was. And I kept saying, and I said, Lord, I don't know what I need to pray about, but I'm trying to do my job. And I got to where the cabinet was, and I felt that pull again to pray. And I said, oh, Lord. And next thing I know, I was on the floor. What happened? The Lord kept pulling me until finally he just got his hands on me. He just pulled me right in and said, get on your knees. I got on my knees and I started pouring my heart out to God right there in the filing cabinet. And that coal, that coal of fire come down in my bosom. And that's when I knew I need to go to Honduras. Amen.
Amen.
I want that coal.
Amen.
I want that coal of fire.
Amen.
Because see, the reason God done that is there were souls in Honduras that were crying out for it. There were souls in Honduras that were crying out for deliverance. There were souls in Honduras that had need of something, and they were calling out to God on their knees, praying to God. What was it? God reached all the way over in Fort Smith, Arkansas, and get a hold of a man that's trying to sell a car.
Right.
Two cars, trying to sell cars, trying to do my job, and the Lord got a hold of me and put me on my knees. What was it from? Somebody way over there on their knees,
right,
praying. Brother Branham said it, the weakest Christian on your knees praying makes the devil tremble. But that's the hardest thing for us to do, is to get on our knees and pray. You see, amen?
Amen.
Our greatest weapon that we have is on our knees, praying, where we can seek God and seek for that fresh coal off the altar. When you're praying, because you don't want to pray, because you can pray and you can go through the motions and you get up just like you left.
Amen.
Is that right? But you can also stay right there on your knees until you touch God and you get the coal off of the altar. And then you've got the anointing. And then you're ready to fight. And I'm fixing the clothes. Give me a few more minutes, okay?
Right.
If I was going to box and I was going to step into a boxing match, you know what I would do before I even step into that boxing match? We used to box all the time in the back of the house. What I always do, I would always focus until we seen ourselves win that fight. We would meditate and seek our minds. Meditate until I seen myself win that fight. And then when I seen myself win it, then I'd go fight the fight. Because then, as soon as he knocked me down right off the bat, and I hit the ground, I'm not even looking at that. I already seen myself win the fight. And it was because I seen myself win the fight, I'm focusing on the right thing. I get back up, and he knocks me down again, it don't matter. I get back up, why? I already won the fight. I already won it. I just ain't got there yet. I'm telling you what, that's the way it is with us and God. When we're seeking God on our knees, and we're seeking God for revelation for the day, we start our day out. Brother Tony said this the whole time. Sneak out of bed while that old man's asleep and pull out your sword. Stick it on his neck. He said, oh boy, you're going to follow me today. Amen? It's good wisdom.
before we even start our day, seek God. Say, God, I want to see the victory in my life today. Seek your calling and election, sure, every day. Every day you're seeking God. Not because you think you're going to be lost. We can't be lost. We come from God. But I want the victory today. Amen? I want the blessing today. And I don't want to just be saved. I don't want to just get by. I don't want to just go in the rapture. I want to soar with the eagles. Yeah. I want to be able to soar. I want to be victorious. I don't want to just squeak by with my finances. If I need milk, I want to go buy the milk. Amen? I don't want to just squeak by begging for bread. We don't have to live like that. We are children of the King. Amen?
Amen.
We can have everything that we have need of. If I was to see my wife trying to squeak by whenever we had money in the bank, if we had money in the bank, and if I seen her trying to squeak by and say, well, I better not do anything. I better not buy any shoes because we might not have the money. If there's money in the bank and she was squeaking by, well, what is wrong with you? You've got the money. Spend the money. Buy you some shoes. That's the way God is. A lot of times He sees us when we think, well, I can't do it. I better not reach out. I better not ask too much. Because if I ask too much, you know, like a little fish in the middle of the ocean. I better be careful how I drink this water, because if I drink too much, I might drink us out. Ask for big things. Amen? Ask for what you have need of. Because God will give it to you. Don't ask amiss. You know, walk in the verb. Retain God in your knowledge. But I believe that we can ask God what we have need of, and God will give it to you. If I need a car deal for myself, I believe if I'm faithful with my tithes and my offerings, if I'm faithful with my stewardship at home, I believe I can pray, God send me a customer. And I'll give you a testimony. I was trying to hit my number the other day, and I was praying. I was sinking on my knees. Ask God to help me to send me customers. This is the honest truth. My managers were right there. They all seen it. Desk is right there. We were at the table right here beside the manager, but they can see it. I talked to this man all the way from Berryville, Arkansas. He came all the way from Berryville, Arkansas, sitting here to do a vehicle that I was doing the paperwork with me. Only thing I've talked to this man about was the car deal. That's the only thing I've talked to him about. We're sitting there, and his wife is kind of squirming, sitting there, and she said, I just got to ask you. I got to get it out. I said, I'm thinking she's going to want some kind of accessory or something. You know, she wants something free. She said, I got to ask you right now. Are you a missionary? I said, I looked at her and I said, yeah, matter of fact, I just got back from Honduras. He said, I told you. And I looked over. He said, we were on our knees. He said, and we were praying. He said, God told us to go all the way over here to Fort Smith, Arkansas, because we're going to support a missionary. He said, I'll tell you something else. He said, I'm going to tell you something that'll scare your shoes off. He says, you've got about 11 cars out today, don't you? He said, counting this car. I said, matter of fact, this will put me at 11 and a half. He said, I told you. I'm telling you what, we serve a big God.
Amen.
Because, see, I've got burdens that I want to do over in Honduras, and it takes funds. Brother Paco and I were talking about it. It takes money. And you have to pray. And this is what we taught. We said, you know what? God will send me customers if I have need of it, and I'll have it. Amen. And God sends somebody all the way from Berryville, Arkansas. Amen.
Amen.
How big's our God? Ask big. Don't ask small. Ask big. Not for yourself, for them over there. For your brothers, your sisters. Because see, if you're asking for yourself, you're probably not going to get it. But when you ask for your brothers, you ask for your sisters, ask big for your brothers and sisters. Amen?
Amen.
Because God can do it.
Amen.
If you get a steam cleaner that works, what's the first thing you want to do? Sister Lisa, you've got to come try this. This thing works. Look at this. This is a good one. You start rubbing that stain. They stain up. What is it? Your soul. And because you're convinced, you're concerned. She's so convinced it's right, she's got to share it with somebody.
Right,
that's right. You got to sell yourself. And then when you're sold, you're going to sell to everybody else.
Amen.
That's right. We need to seek God. God, help me be sold. Help me be so sold into this gospel. Help me to be so convinced it's right that I can't pass up one soul. I've got to tell you about it. Amen. I want that coal to be burning so hot on the inside that when someone gets close to me, they're going to set on fire.
Amen.
Because there's something alive inside me. Something. I can try to hide it all I want to, but that thing's burning so much. If you get around me very long, you're going to be shouting. I believe we can have that.
Amen.
I believe we can pray for one another. We can have that. I'll give you one more quick testimony before we close.
We can all stand if you'd like to. Here before this last trip, I had need of $400 for a concrete floor. I had need of it. And I'm already going on this missions trip. I'm already going to be spending money. The church is going to be helping me with the offerings. And I think to myself, I don't want to go to the missions board and ask for another offering. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I just want to pray about it. And I want to ask you to help me be able to meet this need. And I just want to be a channel that I can just take it and I can just pass it through. See, we're just stewards over what God gave us.
Right.
It's not my money. It's God's money. I'm just a good steward. And the better steward I am, the more he can trust me. Amen. And I was praying about that, and I said, God, I said, I don't know what to do about it. I just want to leave it in your hands. And just prayed about it. I didn't say nothing to nobody. I don't even know if I told my wife about it. Had it in my email where Brother Parker was talking about there was a church that needed a floor, $400. A man that I worked with at Reed and Dodge was at a place somewhere, and he was talking, I believe it was one of his family members from another church. Never seen him in my life. He was talking, mentioned my name that was going to Honduras. She said, "Where? What'd you say?" She wasn't even in the conversation. She heard it. She said, "What did you say?" He said, "Oh, there's a man that I work with. He's a good brother. He's going to Honduras. He'd be doing a missionary." She said, "You know what? God told me to save this money up for a reason, and I didn't know what it was. That's the reason." And she took this her check, wrote the check out, folded it up, and gave it to him. Man's Justin Weaver. Brother Justin came to me at work. I was sitting at my computer doing my job. He walked up to me. He said, "Brother Daniel," he said, "if it's okay with you," he said, I said, "I hope I don't offend you." He said, "I was testifying a little bit about what I see God doing in your life." He said, and he told me the story about what happened. He said, and a precious sister said she wanted to give an offering to you. He said, "I have not even opened this up." He said, "I don't know how much it is. It may be $25. I don't know what it is. I want to give it to you." I said, "Brother, I appreciate that very much." And I flipped that thing over, $400. I looked at him and I said, "Brother, I want to show you something." I pulled my phone out and I said, "You see this email? I ain't showed nobody about this. I just prayed about it. Look at that." And he's like, "Oh my God." Tears started coming. He even started shouting. And he called his the lady who it was, precious sister. And she, and I could hear her, because sometimes you can hear someone talking on the phone, even though you're beside. And I could hear, "Hallelujah, hallelujah." She was praising God. What was it? She touched the coal of the altar, and she did the obedience for her life. Amen. And because she did that, she was able to reach out and help somebody else. If God can do that for her, what about you? Amen? Amen. I want to be able to, someone to be say, "You know what? I needed that and from you." Amen? In your life, where they can say, "You touched my life today." Amen. With what you did. How did you do it? You touched the coal of the altar. Amen?
Amen.
Let's just bow our head. Let it go on all night tonight. God, we want to be used by you. Lord, we want to be able to reach out and touch the coal off of that altar, God, where you can melt away everything that's unlike you, God. And if you was to say it this way, who will do something for me? May we, each one of us, say, "Lord, I'll do it for you. Lord, I'll do it. If you want someone to do a service for you, God, I'll do it. I'll go." Because there's all of us have something that we can do. We can sing. We can pray. We can reach out. There's something all of us can do, God. Lord, I ask you to touch every heart here tonight and set our hearts afire, oh God. Oh God, I ask you to let that anointing break every chain tonight, oh God. Lord God, that there can be liberty in our life, God. Lord, where we can see you work in our life, Father. Lord, I ask you, see the hands going up tonight, Lord? Every hand that's gone up right now, Father, I ask you, break every chain tonight, God. Lord, I ask you, Father, search their hearts and may that fresh coal off the altar come into their heart and set them afire again, oh God. Lord, may they feel alive again, Lord Jesus. Lord, we don't just go by feelings, but it's a part of it, God. Lord, I'm asking you, Father, you give us that refilling of that Holy Spirit tonight, Lord, where we can see you move in our lives. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. Ask musicians to come, if you don't mind. And I want to open the altar up. If anyone has needed prayer, you're certainly welcome to come, and we'd be glad to pray with you. But I want to ask you, who wants that coal off of that altar?
Amen.
I believe we can have that coal off of the altar where God can use us. Amen.
Amen.
God can use you on a daily basis where you can see God work in your life. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Give this over to Brother Tony. Anybody has needed prayer, you're certainly welcome.
Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And Brother Ram said that he talked about another book of Acts being written.
Right.
That's right. And you know, it says Acts of the Apostles, but he made it clear. He said, you know, it's not Acts of the Apostles, it's Acts of the Holy Spirit in the Apostles.
That's right.
That's right. Amen.
And he talked about how the church was like a tree. And there's all kinds of grafted vines on that tree and putting off all kinds of crazy fruits. It's not the original fruit. He said if that original tree ever puts out another limb, it'll bear the same fruits it did to begin with, right? So that if this true gospel living in a people is really there, even all the way down here at the end time, no matter there's all kinds of nonsense, there'll be a church.
Yes.
And once again, it'll be the same church it was at the beginning with the same gospel, the same power of God. And it would be the same Holy Spirit in the people today, and there'd be another book of Acts written, not literally, but if there could be.
Yeah.
And that book is being written.
Yeah.
There are chapters in that book, Brother Daniel, there'll be chapters in that book to talk about his experiences. There'll be chapters to talk about the experiences I've had.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
That's right.
So you say, well, that sounds like Bible stuff, Brother Daniel. You know, somebody needing $400 and him praying about it, and somebody brings the $400.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard those testimonies like that for years. It happens for people, but he's in expectation.
That's right.
He believes God will do those things. He's looking to God for those things, and God does it. And so, you have not because you ask not.
That's right.
And then when you do ask, you ask amiss, right? That you may consume it upon your own lust.
Yep.
But if you ask the right way, if you fight the right way, if you press on in the battle the right way, you're going to get the same results you read about in the Bible.
Amen.
So I think we would all like to be able to pray in the morning and go out that day and see God vindicate and move and lives be touched on what we was praying about that morning.
Amen.
You can have that, but you won't have it if you don't fight well and if you don't run well.
That's right.
Right? It won't happen. You know, when a child is born, they're born a clean slate. They're innocent. I mean, I know they're all born in sin. You understand what I'm saying? They're innocent. Then how do they become killers? How do they become rapists? When they were born with a clean slate, something from that time as a child until they become the murderer,
yep.
There's all kinds of bads and wrongs and negatives that happen over and over and over that build that character to become that murderer.
That's
right. Right. But did you know what? The right things could be done along the way would create a great something. Something that wouldn't be a murderer. A mighty child of God to do things for the Lord. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's all a process. You know, I know you're probably familiar. How many knows that sometimes you'll feel the devil trying to put a spirit of anger or aggravation or something upon you? You see you're getting irritated. Maybe you don't know why. Or maybe it's a series of things and you know why you're there. But you realize and you stop and say, you know, I'm getting irritated. The devil's trying to get advantage of me. Do you know that you can resist him?
Yes, sir.
And he has to flee?
That's right.
But the problem is that people won't resist him. They go ahead and let him have his way, and next thing you know, you become something you didn't mean to be in the first place.
That's right.
But it all started back here. So when you see your day not going right, do something about it. Because the scripture said, if you resist the devil steadfast, he will flee.
That's right.
Amen.
Like he's scared of you, because he is.
That's
he
right.
will flee from you. So you have to resist him. So when you see things that aren't going right, listen, I have found this out. There is plenty of things in day-to-day life to make you feel bad, to put you in a bad mood, make your body hurt, make things not go right.
Yep.
There's plenty of things like that. And if you don't fight against those things, they will run your life, ruin your life, and control you day after day after day. You've got to make up your mind that, you know what, you're going to take the Word of God, you're going to arm yourself with a good attitude. When things are not going right, you're going to chuckle and laugh and be in good spirits and draw on the Holy Spirit so that you can be those things
yes.
in the hour of temptation.
Amen.
But you've got to do it.
Amen.
People have to actually put that into action. And so it's not going to happen if you don't do it. Your day will be rough. It will be sorry day after day after day if you don't make a decision in your own mind to fight the devil with the Word of God.
Yeah.
got to do that.
Amen.
That's where it is. And if we can't do that from day to day, if we can't walk in the victory day, day after day, what makes us think that God could use us on the other side to judge the whole world? Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that to heap condemnation. I'm just telling you, this is what's before us. God wants to write a chapter in that new book of Acts on every one of you guys, you brothers and sisters' lives.
That's right. Amen.
He wants those things there.
Amen.
Amen. You know what? Brother Ram talked about the hour would come that limbs would be restored.
Yeah.
We're going to see that, see?
Yeah, right,
but are we going to see that just letting the devil push us around?
No.
No, we got to realize what God has given us in our promised land, and we're going to step foot on that land and say, I dare you, devil, to try and come put me off of it.
Yep.
You have to do that. You have to fight the enemy that way. Amen? So I believe what I heard tonight. Amen. Brother Daniel's an excellent example of what God can do in this hour, because he has high expectations for the Lord to do those things.
Amen.
You know, you may feel like, well, I don't have a ministry like this. It doesn't matter. God will do great wonders. Will do wonders in your life if you'll just let it go. That reminds me, just making that statement, remind me of the Only Believe magazines and the little place where Brother Branham would go out there in Arizona, in the backside of the desert. Little family out there that had little house meetings. He'd go there several times. And in the Only Believe magazine, it told us the story about the boy, and they called him a one in a billion, was it? I forget what the number was. He fell, and a piece of rebar went right up through here, went right plumb through his heart.
Right.
Right? Plumb through his heart, was
Amen.
Bulging out his neck here,
Amen.
And survived it.
Yeah, right.
And didn't even have pain. Right there at that house.
Yeah.
When Brother Branham was leaving that last time, from what I understand, he's leaving, and they opened the gate for him, and the brother opened it, walked up there, and Brother Branham looked at him, and I forget what he told him, but he ended by saying, God will work wonders among you.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
And then later on, that accident happened, and it went out all published. Go look it up. You'll see the story. It wasn't just an Only Believe magazine. Yeah. God will work wonders among you.
Yeah.
But you got to want him to.
Yes.
You got to want him to do it. And you got to say, you know what? I am not happy with where I'm standing
Amen.
Now. I want a higher victory in God.
Yes.
And now go after it, because he says you can have it. Because remember, we quoted the other day, the weakest Christian, he said it is your God-given right for every Christian. The weakest Christian can take that word of God and defeat the devil anywhere, any place, under any condition. Didn't he say that? We
yes.
read it.
Yep.
Under any condition. You can defeat the devil as a weakest Christian. So you want greater things in your life. You want peace. You want happiness and those things in your life. You want victory. You want to see God move. Go after it.
Amen.
Go after it. That's what you got to do.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. I believe that. Let's go to Psalm 473. Let me figure out what key to do it in. King G. I mean, believe the move is on.
Yes.
Amen. We heard about it tonight.
Amen.
The move is on.